Welcome back. It's the second course of the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. The music you are hearing, which we have been using on our program for a long, long time, about 25 years or something like that, is called Holiday for Strings. I think how appropriate that is during the holidays. And strangely enough, it does actually get played on the radio, believe it or not. It was written by a guy by the name of David Rose. He was the orchestra leader. Gosh, he wrote thousands of things on TV and radio. Anyway, he was most famous for doing the and using that music you just heard as the opening shot of the Red Skelton show. But who remembers Red Skelton anymore, unless you're as old as I am, or even older, or a little less? This is the Food Show. We talk about eating and drinking and restaurants and cooking and wine and all that, getting ready for Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. And in fact, that's a matter on which everybody in my family completely agrees. We all say that's our favorite. We like it even more than we like Christmas, Thanksgiving Day. This one quick little line that my son, who is now an executive with Amazon, he came home from where he was at the time. This was after Katrina. Long story, so I'm not going to get into it. But he was in Washington, D.C., and he came down for the holiday. And he walked in the kitchen door, which is the way you get into our house most of the time. And he walked in, and I was standing there at the oven, and I had all of the fixings of my root beer glaze for the root beer glaze ham that I always make one of whenever we have something big. And he walks in, and he just looked around, and he took a couple of sniffs, and he said, "That's the aroma of Thanksgiving." And I said, "It sure is, and isn't it nice?" Hope yours is going well. If you want to know something about what it takes to put out really good Thanksgiving food, call me and I'll tell you what I do, and I think it's pretty good. I'll leave that up to you, however. And anything you want to find out about, if you're trying to figure out how to make some dish or other that you would love to have, let me know. We'll find something. My wife is a real fanatic for doing side dishes. In fact, she loves much more to do side dishes than she does to do the main course of any meal. And when you get down to Thanksgiving, she's deep into it, and all of these great little dishes that come from who knows where. Anyway, hope things are as nice as they are these days for me and my family, and that's what it's all about. 260-6368 is our telephone number. Hey, you know what? I'm although it didn't exactly drive everybody wild with frenzied fun when we brought this up about a week ago, but I have a contest that I want to turn into like a daily thing. And I'm going to invite you to take a shot at this. I don't have a prize, so, you know, there's nothing at danger here. The way this works is you are creating a six-course dinner. I'm not telling you anything other about the dinner, not where it came from, what kind of food is in it, or anything like that. You pick the six courses. These courses describe the name of a dish. Sometimes they have that and sometimes not. How it was made, what time during the meal is it served. You know, it's just. But we require that whatever you put in as one of the courses must be expressed in one word only. Okay, so you have six words and each one of them gives you a description at some level of the dish we're talking about. So I came up with such an assortment, and the active way of doing this is not to just spit back what I picked, but to come up with your own list of six items. And this will make a meal, and if it's done really well, the various courses will also be better or worse or more or less focused, just so it'll fit in better. So you ready? Here I go. Six courses. Number one, blue. Could be blue cheese, could be almost anything. Two, pickled. Pickled? Lots of things you can pickle. Number three, Rockefeller, like as in oysters Rockefeller. Number three is hollandaise sauce made with eggs and butter mostly. Chocolate is number four. Pepper is number five. And icing is number six. Now, what you do is you call me back and you give me six courses, just one word per course. And if you do it really well, the various courses will kind of fit in with one another. You'll see how this goes. And I think the more we play this game, the better we're going to get at it. And I think it could turn into something entertaining and fun. So who knows? I mean, you know, I've certainly had my share of failure ideas here on our program. So who knows? 260-6368 is our telephone number. We sure could appreciate your calling on the phone today. I'm still looking around to see if anybody knows about this thing that Newell Norman gave me about an hour ago. I was asking him if he had any vitamin C hanging around in his desk or anything. And he said, no, but I do have this stuff. And it was some tablets that you put in a glass of water, and it starts bubbling. And it has different flavors in it. The one that I had was supposed to taste like, and really did taste like, orange. And it's supposed to be loaded with vitamin C, which is the whole point of it. And so I checked it out. I didn't measure the amount of water. It was supposed to be four ounces, but I don't think it's a critical thing. And so far, so good. I mean, it hasn't healed what I feel like is a cold coming on. On the other hand, I do feel a little bit better. Maybe it's just because it tastes good. I mean, it's this vivid orange, the placebo effect, exactly. It's this orange tablet, and the liquid, the liquid that comes out of it is this brilliant orange color, and it's delicious. So I'm going to find out where he got those, and I'm going to have them hanging around in case I ever catch another cold. I don't get too many colds, but when I do, I want to catch it at the beginning. And that's where vitamin C comes in, I think so. Let's see. Somebody's on hold over here. I believe it's Michael. Michael,
good
welcome.
Evening, Tom.
Hi there.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.
I called to ask you about New Orleans Hamburgers and mm-hmm. Seafood Company. Did you say mm-hmm. that they reduced the size of their burger?
No, I don't think they did. I think that they actually made it a little bit bigger. But my question, they asked me to give some impressions on what I thought of their burgers. And I said, sure. What I noticed was that the burger had gotten bigger, but more important than that was that they were cooking over a much hotter grill than I remember them doing, say, 20 years ago when they were first getting it.
I thought it was smaller because you said, you know, that they're so big. They were so big before that they were hard to eat, which I went today, and it was big, and it was hard to eat, but it was tasty, and I love the French fries there that come with it, and I ended up having a good time anyway. I think I like the grill better for the burger because of the size, though.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about that. There are a lot of places who want to upgrade their hamburger because it's a very profitable item. It's something that everybody knows. Everybody likes burgers. But yeah. you have to make it of a size that when you open your mouth to put it in the hamburger, you actually can enclose your teeth around it, which a lot of times you can't. I mean, it's just
right, exactly.
too big, and you wind up having to eat it with a knife and fork, and that's not fun either. That's something I always look at, and I think they've got that pretty well under control, although what happens to me typically is I go after those fries that they do that are shaped like a moon. A crescent
half moon. Yeah, half moons. They're good.
And they serve them with bubbles and draubles of garlic and butter.
Yeah.
I just made up a couple of words. And you can't stop eating those things. I mean, you'll just ignore the burger and you wind up eating the fries. They're really terrific.
I thought they were great. So, I thought I would share that with you today, and I thought I'd talk to you about our Thanksgiving dinner. I do a roast turkey. I do a big bird in the oven. I got a 22-pounder, almost 23
Ooh,
pounds this year.
Big.
A big bird.
Big
and
chance.
And I do it with a recipe with white wine and butter and, of course, all the typical seasonings, garlic and rosemary and thyme and everything on it, but I do it under a cheesecloth. I used to do the bag, but I do it under a cheesecloth, and I've had much better success.
Mm.
Get more even browning, and boy, is it juicy inside. It's just unbelievable.
No, wait. Run this by me again. How do you do this?
So, well, basically what I do is I melt butter.
Yeah.
With a bottle of wine in a saucepan,
uh-huh.
and I usually add some seasoning in that as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I season the bird very well, put all sorts of seasoning in the cavity. I don't stuff it anymore, especially a big bird like that. It would take too long, and it gets burnt on the outside by the time it's 165 in the middle.
Yeah.
So, but once you've got the bird ready to go, you take your cheesecloth, and you dip it in the butter, and then you drape it over the entire bird, over it.
Hmm.
And then you bake it in the oven, and then you baste it at a high temp. I think the temp I do is about 400. And I do that for 2.5 hours.
Wow, did you say this is a cheesecloth around it?
Cheesecloth, yes, sir.
Yeah, and that stands up to that kind of heat?
It sure does. And,
wow.
And I tell you what, I baste it. You have to baste it every 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
You just continue putting the mixture on the outside of that cheesecloth and around the sides and whatever, and do that for about 2.5 hours. Then you reduce the heat and turn down to like more like 350, and then continue cooking until it's done. So it's 165 in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and of course, obviously, it's about 20 minutes per pound as a rule, for me, sometimes a little longer, those big birds. But I usually have a big crowd, so that's what I do. I also fry two turkeys, and I've got
You what? Two turkeys?
I fry.
Oh, fry, yeah. Yeah, watch out for that. Our show today began with a report on CBS that said that the insurance industry has pretty much condemned turkey fryers as a really dangerous.
I don't do the deep fry anymore. I do the air one.
Oh, well, that's a difference. That's a roaster, is what that winds up being.
But really it works well.
I don't have really one, but everybody I know who does have one loves it.
I'm very happy with it. So then I do your root beer ham, the
good for you.
Root beer ham. Yeah. And I do, I'm like Marianne, I like tons of casseroles. I do the green beans because they have to have it.
Yeah.
I do Brussels sprouts. I do an oyster casserole, which I've told you about before. It's with saltine crackers, butter, and
I do remember this, but it's been a while since you told me about that, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's such a good recipe. It's my mom's recipe.
Would you mind giving it to us again? Because I remember, I don't know if I made it or not, but I thought to myself, there's no way this is going to come out bad. This is a great concept.
I do a half a gallon of oysters, including the liquid,
Yeah.
I mix in squished up saltine crackers.
Yep.
And then a couple of sticks of butter, and then half and half and black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
A lot of black pepper. Mama liked a lot of black pepper. And you stir that up and you stick it in the oven, and it takes about an hour. I put that in last so that when it comes out, it's hot. And it's like a souffle because of the crackers and whatever, the yeast and the crackers and the half and half make all of that puff up.
Uh-huh.
And so it comes out amazing, and everybody loves it. Last year, I had zero left over, which,
wow,
you know,
it's that's
always
impressive.
Infuriating because I love leftovers. So, but that's a good dish, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds wonderful. I'm going to give that another shot if I can get my hands on some oysters.
Yeah.
At this late date.
I ordered mine from Fisherman's Cove out in Kenner. That's not close to where I live.
Yeah.
And they're about $35 a half gallon right now.
Mm.
So, but then I have cranberry salsa with jalapeno,
yeah,
as a sort of an appetizer with chips.
Is
and,
it spicy?
Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, gravy, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I usually do Marlton casserole, but I'm not doing it this year. So, but I got about 30 people coming, and it's our favorite holiday, too. And we wish you a blessed holiday. I hope your grandkids come.
Me, too.
And that's about it.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. That's what it's what we love to talk about at this time of year, obviously.
Thanks, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving to
you
everybody
too.
There.
Thank you.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and we'll come back with more of our talk about eating and drinking in restaurants and cooking, which we do every day here on The Food Show. I've got it figured that down the road somewhere, we're going to do this little contest every day. And we'll talk about it more in a minute. Oh, do you know we're doing a restaurant, an eat club over at the Roosevelt Hotel, which is celebrating its 125th year this year. And the hotel has a long-standing connection with WWL Radio. For a long time, WWL Studios were in the Roosevelt Hotel, and they would do all of their programming. And that was saying something in those days, because they used to do these radio dramas, and they would have bands coming on, and it was fantastic. Golden age of radio, for sure. And we are kind of trying to recapitulate that to celebrate the 125th anniversary of the restaurant and the hotel. So that will be on the 28th. The price is $75, last time I heard. That is, I don't know if that's with tax or tip or anything. This has been a little confusing. But see if you can get your hold on a reservation for that. I think it's going to be quite an evening. We have live music. There's dancing. It's in the Blue Room. The Blue Room, those who are old enough to remember, was a main ballroom, the likes of which you had to go to a major city around the country to find its equal. Of course, we are playing jazz here in New Orleans, and nobody's going to beat us at that. So that's why there was so much of that around. My favorite part of those broadcasts, they would come from the Roosevelt, all right, and they would get to the end of the program, and this whole time it was going out to all of the stations around the country on CBS. And when they got to the end of it, there was an announcer who would walk up to the microphone and say, "This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System." I always thought that's got to be the best job in radio, to just say that one little line, and that's it. Good day. 260-6368. Call me, somebody. We're sitting here waiting for you. And, you know, there's not another program like this anywhere in America. We talk about food every day, no exceptions, or hardly any. That deal we're doing the holiday that we are about to be upon, one of the interesting things about it is that we will have a huge assortment of different kinds of dishes that you can go through, and we'll be working up to that in a minute. At the moment, our program is sponsored by Mikimoto. It's a Japanese restaurant. And, you know, sushi, all of that, all the other things that are like sushi, like sashimi, and the ones that are grilled, same idea, but grilled. But there's plenty more where all of that came from. And Mikimoto on South Carrollton Avenue, not far away from Earhart Boulevard, they have the sushi. They have also all of the teppanyaki grills where the chef will start flipping things in the air and he would have some fun with it, and everybody would be entertained and laugh a lot. I'm not nuts about that style of eating, but what I do love is what they do in terms of hot appetizers and hot entrees over at Mikimoto. It is really amazing in terms of the variety that they have been able to put together. And I love just digging through their menu looking for unusual things. You'll find some, and you'll really like them, and the prices aren't even out of sight. It's Mikimoto, Carrollton Avenue. They have delivery throughout the city all the time. They have a drive-through, believe it or not, because it used to be a bank building that they're in. And I didn't mean that. Mikimoto, South Carrollton, near Earhart Boulevard. It's the food show. Ding, 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 boop, about half past the hour. Love to hear from you about wherever you've been eating. How about that, huh? You got anything? And then we have this little content. You know what we haven't done yet? And we're deep into the program now, but we have not had our cocktail of the day. A lot of cocktails being drunk at this time, or being attended to, maybe not so much as drunk. Let's see. We will pick a cocktail here. This comes from the Mr. Boston Official Bartender's Guide. This is the book that an overwhelming majority of people who make cocktails for a living, this is the one that they check with when they don't exactly know how to do the drink itself. They can look it up. So, here's one. I don't know what the name means. It's called Tillicum. Wait a minute. Maybe it means until I come. Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, Tillicum. Tillicum. Or till I come. Okay, so 2 1/4 ounces of gin. This begins this. 3/4 of an ounce of dry vermouth. That's the white vermouth as opposed to the red vermouth. The red vermouth is a little bit sweet. The white is not sweet really at all. And they have, you know, different qualities. Both of them are great for cocktails. And if you take both of them at the same time, the white variety of vermouth and the red variety, and you put them on the rocks, you've got a great drink right there. It's called a half and half. That's ask that in any Italian restaurant. They'll know what you're talking about. Then you have 2 dashes of Peixo bitters. And you stir all of that with ice and strain it into a chilled cocktail glass. And you garnish it with a slice of smoked salmon. What? I wasn't expecting that. I just bumped into it. Skewered flat on a pick. Let me run this by again. So we've got gin, we've got dry vermouth, we've got Peixo bitters. You stir it with ice, and then you strain it, and then you serve it on a chilled cocktail glass. It's like a martini glass, with a slice of smoked salmon skewered flat on a pick. A pick is with a toothpick, I guess. Tillicum, or till I come. We'll just think about it. Let me know what you come up with, because frankly, I'm not sure I understand it. But I'm going to check it off here. And that one comes from a great authority. I'm not kidding you. These are the guys who know. The Mr. Boston Official Bartender Guide. We check it out every every day during our program, as we do our today's cocktail of the day. 260-6368 is our telephone number. Give us a call. Love to hear from you about anything. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? You know, there are, I made a list of 40 restaurants that are going to be open, restaurants that are going to be open for Thanksgiving Day. And you are not going to have to, if you want to go out to a restaurant, and if you call for a reservation, your percentage of success with that, I would suspect, is much less than 100%. The restaurants, I'm being told by the restaurateurs, they're pretty busy. And the famous restaurants like Commander's Palace or a restaurant like that, really kind of difficult to get anything. But don't hesitate to call, because you might call into the most popular restaurant in town, and they were sold out, but then somebody canceled at the last minute for six people, and all of a sudden, here's a table open for you. So call them up and ask them, do you have any cancellations? I'm looking for three people at 4 o'clock. And it'll be taken care of. That's the way to handle that, instead of just getting worked up about it, I guess. Hello, you're welcome to the food show. You really are welcome. Come on in. We'd love to hear about what you got planned for Thanksgiving, whether you're staying at home or whether you're going out to eat. Surely you're going to eat something, although, let me think about that a second. What would you do on other than to go out to a restaurant or to stay at home with, you know, the football games and all the little kids running around? What would you do? It's a good question. Let's see if anybody has an answer to it. What do you do about Thanksgiving that maybe not everybody you know does? 260-6368. We'd be happy to talk about anything on your mind, though. Give us a buzz and let us know about it. Looking forward to that. And we always do. This is my favorite holiday. What do you cook at your house, or what does somebody cook at your house when you are there doing some Thanksgiving food? What is the popular dish? Without a doubt, and I'm bragging a little bit because this is my recipe, the root beer glazed ham at our house. It's amazing because when you make it, the exterior part of this kind of a skin, it is actually hard and black, and it really doesn't look very appetizing unless you know what's underneath it. And yet, the little kids in particular are the ones that go most crazy about it, but they'll look at it and they'll say, I don't know if I want to eat that. And then you give them a little bit of it, and then they eat it. And then the next thing I know, all of that black covering area is gone, because the kids seem to like it more than anybody else, but it goes. That's quite a recipe. I have it, if I say so myself. It's my creation. I've never seen anybody else grab it or try to, but I'm nuts about it. It is, as it describes, it's made with root beer. And also a whole bunch of things. I always have some cinnamon sticks in it, cloves, not cloves of garlic, but cloves. That's the spice. And a whole bunch of other things that may or may not seem like they're right. But, you know, hot sauce of one kind or another, sometimes several. And anyway, I'm going to be making that. I'm making the glaze tomorrow. And then it's in the oven for about 3 hours. Big, big ham. It's about 25 pounds, if I remember right. Over at Chasey's Ham, they always have a very consistent ham over there, so I know what's going to come out before I even put it in the oven. 260-6368. I am looking for somebody to talk to right now. Would you mind calling us and telling us what you've got planned for Thanksgiving, or what your thoughts are? Anybody out there hate Thanksgiving? I've never run into that before in my life. Maybe it's that way. I do remember, however, when I was a single guy and nowhere near being married or even had a girlfriend particularly, my mother wanted me to come over all the time for that, but there was something about it. I said, no, I got to get on with my life or something along those lines. And at the end of it, I wound up going to maybe a couple of years in a row, going to restaurants that had hardly anybody in them, and all of the people who were there looked kind of sorry and sort of lonely. I didn't want to do that anymore. And then a friend, a really good friend of mine in the advertising business, called me up and said, "Why don't you come over? We have a bunch of media people who they're not working; they're just there, and we have dinner, and we all help each other, and we cook it ourselves." And I said, "That sounds great." So I did that. And let's say it worked out well enough that when I did get married, I did it in the same house where we were doing this thing for Thanksgiving every year for a long time. So nice people. Always remember that. What, have you ever had a rotten Thanksgiving? That's something we haven't heard about. Or anything else on your mind, it doesn't have to be about Thanksgiving. It doesn't have to be about anything in particular. Call us up and tell us all about it. 260-6368. 260-6368. I think people might be going out somewhere or might be just sitting around having a beer or maybe a cocktail. Who knows? Maybe they even are having that cocktail of the day today. I probably will never find that again in this book, though. So believe me, I don't think you've missed anything. The name alone was kind of deterring. I'm not sure I wanted to hear any more about that. 260-6368. Where is everybody? I haven't had to ask that question in a while. We've been very busy around here lately. Hope you come by and visit with us. You know what we haven't done? We haven't done our specializations where we find out a certain food item and find out who has the best of that item. And we call that the thing of the day or something like that. This one, you know, I'm working my way over there. Here it is right now. Mushu pork. Mushu pork of the day is at Trey Yen. Trey Yen in Mandeville. They used to have one in Hammond, but they closed it. It's interesting what's going on with the family that owns that restaurant and always has. The next generation coming up didn't want to do Chinese food, is the way I understand it. And why should they, you know? They wanted to move on and try some new things. And that has been very successful for them. But if you like it, Mushu pork being a great example of it, this is something that's served over crepes, interestingly. They're kind of like tortillas more than anything, but they have this great sauce with just about anything you want in it. They can do it vegetarian. They can do it with shrimp, with veal, just a whole bunch of different variations on that. But not only that, but there are some exotic ingredients in there, tiger lily flowers and a variety of mushrooms. And you roll it all up into the tortilla, and then you eat it with your fingers. That's the official way of doing that. Mushu pork. It's something that you find in mostly high-end restaurants, Chinese restaurants, rather than a little bit lower down. Anyway, that's the one you can go with. It's you'll see it in just about any major Chinese restaurant. If they don't have it, then they're not particularly ambitious. But there we are. That's our selection on our question that asked the question, Mushu pork of the day, and it is Trey Yen. Agree or disagree? 260-6368. Our program today is sponsored by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. We've been talking about their burgers and why it is that they asked me to take a look at what was changing about their burgers, and I gave it to them, and they did something about it. Not that it was a disaster. It wasn't anything like that. It was, in fact, they improved it quite a lot. But I want to tell you about their seafood, because that is not nothing. That's not just a hang-on to the people who don't want to eat burgers. What they do with their seafood that impresses me is, first of all, it's fresh. It's not frozen. Second thing, if you go there and their oil just starts deteriorating even a little bit, they will stop everything. They will strain the seafood out if necessary. If it's not good enough for that, they'll just ditch it and move on to the next batch. And what is the end result of this is that it is very good and very fresh tasting. The seafood that you are presented with has only been a few minutes since it actually was fried and comes out crisp and the way you want. Seafood has to be right out of the broiler or the ham or it's not the ham, excuse me, the grill or whatever. It has to go from there to the department of customer at the second. And that's what they accomplish every day, I think, over at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. What were you about to tell me? From the fryer to the table. That's exactly how it goes, and it really shows. They've been like that since the moment they first started doing seafood. I don't think that was at the very beginning. They seafood is something that they added on later, and they said, "We think we know what you need to do," and they did it, and it's been a success. So try it out. And I think you'll be very, very pleased with the way they do that for you. What else do we do every day on our program? But we haven't done yet. Oh, we haven't done the Food Almanac today. That's right. I haven't so much as thought about it, let alone done it. Let's see if I can bring this thing over in front of me. By the way, in case you're wondering where this comes from, I write this every day, my own self. Let's see. I have a good recipe in here. If you're doing a stuffing with cornbread, I'm doing one with fennel Italian sausage and cornbread stuffing. And I have a good recipe for that. If I remember right, I got it out of Gourmet Magazine when Gourmet Magazine was still around about 20 years ago. And I remember thinking, this is pretty good. I make it a little bit different every time. But there's a good recipe for that in there. And then, let's see, it is National Whole Ham Day. What a coincidence. Just what I was working on. Whole Ham Day is today. What else? Deadlines in frozen turkey, in case you haven't picked up on this yet. Frozen turkeys have to be thawed out, obviously. You put it in the refrigerator 5 days before the day you're going to cook it. Some people will say 3. That's oftentimes what's on the label. That's not long enough. 3 is not long enough to get that done right. So just make sure that's taken. Today's the day. If they're not thawed yet, then you're going to have to put it on the counter or something. But I always hate doing that. All right. Sweet Potato Creek we don't need to know about that. Chess Pie is the edible dictionary item for today. It's a staple dessert of the South, as in us. Chess pie, though, the best way you could describe it is to say that it's just like a pecan pie, as we know it, but without the pecans. You could also say it's a custard pie, but it isn't made it's made without milk. And it's usually sweetened with corn syrup, which is, Anyhow, chess pie. Anybody out there have that ever in your life? I haven't seen it or heard of it in a long time. Chess pie. I bet you there's got to be somebody listening to us who has had chess pie. Call us up and tell us what you know about it. Let's see. Food namesakes. These are people whose names have a food reference in them. Ann Curry, who was the news anchor for the Today Show for a while. She was born in 1956 today. And Curry, that's the food reference in her name. There was a guy by the name of Benjamin Chew, Chew. He was the Chief Justice of Pennsylvania before the Revolution and was born today in 1722. Screen writer Sam Hamm. Here's another one of those Sam references. He wrote the script for the first modern Batman movie, among many others, and gave his first line of dialogue in 1955. It went something like, Okay, enough of that. I hate it when this happens. We get down to where we have just this little bit of time and nobody to talk to. Somebody will call right now. Come on, 260-6368. I'm sitting here waiting. Oh, you know, earlier I mentioned that we I came into vitamin C. I'm not going to call it a tablet because that's not exactly what it is. It's shaped like that, but you put it in water and then it starts fizzing. And this one came out very bright orange, and I was told that this is a really good source of vitamin C, and I needed one because I was on the verge of I feel like I have a cold coming on, and whenever I have that feeling, I always take a major amount of vitamin C, and I have found that to work very, very consistently and very well. It always seems to get the job done. Well, enough of that. 260-6368, we now have less than a minute. Oh, there's the, little bit of bluesy kind of music at the end of the program. We will be back on the air tomorrow, as usual, at 3 in the afternoon until 5. On 105.3. Okay. Oh, there you go. You got it. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Have a good dinner. Talk to you tomorrow. Good night.